Amen. All right, John chapter 1. I'm going to use the Gideon Bible that Ed gave me. Amen. How about that? John chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 14. These are pretty familiar passages of Scripture. You know, Matthew and Luke, they start with the Bethlehem story. John starts with eternity past. And so John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." It's a very powerful passage of Scripture of who Jesus is. And then if you look at verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So what I wanted to share with you in kind of just piggybacking what Ed shared with us today is just a celebration of the Word of God. Now, I'm assuming that all of you have Bibles. I'm assuming many of you probably have multiple Bibles. How many of you have multiple Bibles, multiple translations? How many of you got Bibles with your name carved on the front of them? Anybody got those? Yeah. How many of you got Bibles with stuff written in them, like when somebody got married, somebody died, somebody, whatever, when you got saved, y'all, you got stuff like that. Any of you got Bibles that are kept together by tape? I do. I still have the Bible that was given to me on the day of my christening by my maternal grandparents, and it's literally got packing tape that's keeping that Bible together. And so the Bible is precious to us as the people of God. And when I think about what the Gideons do, we here, especially in the United States of America, we've got a shelf of Bibles. We got a shelf of Bibles in different translations and different colors and all kinds of fancy things on them to make it look pretty. And we got our name carved in them, and we've passed them down from generation to generation. But there are people all around the world, people in the United States right now, that are lacking the Word of God. And so that's why I'm grateful for what the Gideons do in getting the Word of God out and into the lives of people, because we know that the Word of God works. We've seen it happen. Amen. And so we're entering into this Christmas season, and it's strange to talk about a celebration of the Word when we're talking about the beginning of Christmas, but really, that is what Christmas is. When we think about Christmas, when we think about what it represents, I'm a big fan of Santa. I love Santa. Yeah, thanks, Roy. Roy likes Santa. I'm a big fan of Santa. I love all the Christmas movies. I love all the Christmas traditions. I love the Christmas lights. You know, I went over yesterday and I helped Dad put his Christmas lights out. And I don't know if you know this or not, but some people, you know, some people named Dad think that things have to be done a certain way. Anybody know that? So while I'm out there, everybody's pointing at Kelly. The whole family. So I'm out there plugging stuff in, and Dad's standing at the door. I can't even hear him through the glass going, I love the traditions of Christmas. I love all of that. But Christmas really is a celebration of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Folks, Christmas is the fulfillment of God's Word. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. Galatians chapter 4, one of my favorite passages of Scripture that goes along with Christmas. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Now it goes on and says that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But the main thing I want you to notice there is that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. A celebration of Christmas is a celebration of God's Word. It's a celebration of God's promise. But it goes not only back to Isaiah telling us that a child would be born of a virgin. It goes all the way back to the garden. That Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Sin broke into the world. The world was cursed. We were separated from God. But in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that the seed of the woman would put his heel on the head of the devil. And so Christmas is the celebration of the faithfulness of God. A celebration of God fulfilling His Word. I mean, think about it. From Malachi to Matthew was 400 years. 400 years of silence. 400 years of no prophets. 400 years of no direct Word of God. And then, when the fullness of time had come, God didn't just send another prophet. He didn't just send another message. He literally sent his word wrapped in human flesh. God came for man. And that's the celebration of Christmas. Jesus, the word in flesh. Now, I want to point out something from the Gospel of Matthew. I want you to just see the wonderment and the beauty of God's faithfulness. I want to look at seven different passages here. So we're going to look at them really quickly here. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Now all this was done. We're talking about the birth of Christ, obviously. Now all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. The birth of Christ, lying in a manger, being named Jesus, which means his Savior. This was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born." We're talking about Herod. So he's asking them, where is this Jesus, who's supposed to be the king of the Jews, is going to be born? "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." That's the prophet Hosea. So we see even Herod trying to find out where Christ is born. The only reason why anybody knew where he was is simply because of the fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. "And when he arose, he took the young child," this is Joseph, "he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled." Do you see? Do you see this trend that's happening here? "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son." Matthew chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, which is one of the worst parts during the time of Jesus' birth. "Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, in Ramah was their voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for their children, and would not be comforted because they are not." This literally Herod having the children under the age of two killed in an attempt to try to destroy the Messiah was the fulfillment of a prophecy from Jeremiah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 23. "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. This is talking about John the Baptist. "For this is he that was spoken of by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So not only was Jesus the fulfillment of prophecy, the forerunner before Christ himself was a fulfillment of prophecy. And then finally, Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. "And then when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled." Look at everything that's happening. "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." What do we see that Matthew is doing in this passage of these passages of Scripture? He's trying to point the people back and say, look, look, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Christ came at the right time, at the right moment, in the plan of God. And there was nothing that the governments of that day could stop what God was doing. There was nothing that the people of that day could stop what God was doing. There was nothing that the demons and devils of hell could stop. It had already been spoken, and as far as God was concerned, it was going to happen exactly the way it was spoken. Some have pointed out that Jesus had fulfilled in his lifetime, over 300 prophecies just in his lifetime from the Old Testament. This man's life was a walking, talking testimony of the power of God's word. Why? because Jesus is the Word of God. Now, we don't worship the Bible. I understand that. We worship the one that the Bible reveals to us, right? But we can't separate God from what He says, because what He says through His Word is a revelation of who He is. And so when we say that Jesus is the Word made flesh, we're not saying that He became a Bible. We are saying that Jesus was the ultimate message of God to the world. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know how God acts, if you want to know God's heart, then you look at Jesus. Jesus said, "Philip, have I been with you so long that you don't know that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father?" So as we celebrate the Word of God during this Christmas season, I want you to know that Christmas, as Pastor Don told us, at Christmas is a message of hope. Why? Because we know if God is faithful to send His Son into this world, He is going to be faithful to keep His promises to you. He is going to be faithful to keep His Word to you. You can know that there's always hope because of Christ. And so you need to dig into this Bible. You need to celebrate this Word. You need to get the Word down in your heart. And so as a celebration of God's Word, I want to challenge you to do five things. And I will close. Five things I want you to do. They're very simple. Five things. I know we talked about five things when we were talking about pursuing God. We were talking about keeping ourselves in God's presence. We talked about five things that we should do, including read our Bibles, pray, worship, fellowship, and share our faith. Now, here's five things I want us to do in celebration of God's Word. Really simple. Number one, read the Word. Read the Word. Some of your Bibles have dust on them, and they shouldn't have dust on them, should they? We should be reading our Bibles, and I want to encourage you to read an actual book of the Bible. I know I've said this before, but I want to encourage you. Pick a book and read it. Because a lot of us live devotional lives. And I don't have any problem with devotions. I like devotions. Devotions are really cool. They focus your attention. They get you thinking about a certain topic. They get your mind on the right thing. But what does a devotion do? It gives you like a verse or a couple verses. Sometimes it'll just give you a half a verse. You know, it's like John 3:16a. You know, where's B? I ain't got B here. You know, you read a passage of Scripture, and then there's this whole thing about what somebody thinks about that passage of Scripture, and then you move on to day two, right? And we feel like, man, how holy am I? Right? How many of you have ever felt like you've backslidden because you missed a day on your Bible app, right? Right? Oh, man, I don't love Jesus anymore. Read your Bible. Pick a book and read it from the... Some of you have never read a book from the beginning to the end. Not just in the Bible, but in life. Some of you don't even know what a book looks like. I know that some of you are allergic to books, but you need to read your Bible. Pick a book and read it. Read the Gospel of John. Start at John chapter 1 and read all the way to John chapter 21. Don't be just a devotional reader of the Word, because what happens many times when you read devotions, sometimes devotions can take verses out of context because you're not reading the entire message that God is trying to get across to you. And so read your Bible. Pick a book and read it. I've said this many times before. I don't want to get to heaven and Habakkuk asks me, "Did you read my book?" And you're like, "I've never even heard of you. I didn't even know you existed." I always thought Habakkuk sounded like a Star Wars character. You know what I'm saying? It's like Chewbacca and Habakkuk. Read your Bible. Number two, study the Word. Study the Word. And I know that sounds like the same thing as reading it, but it's not. You know, I have no problem with sitting down and just reading through the Bible. You know, you read your chapter and you put your Bible down and move on. That's fine, because the Word of God works. That's what we just heard in the testimony. The Word of God works. But you need to study your Bible. Stop. Ask questions. Wrestle with the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you. When it makes you uncomfortable, let it make you uncomfortable. When it corrects you, let it correct you. When it wants to heal you, let it heal you. When you read something and you don't like what it says, find out why it bothers you. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking questions. There's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking God and trying to find out what it means. Study the Word of God. Get you a Bible that's got cross references and follow what it's trying to teach you. You can use a study Bible. Study your Bible. But again, I always want to encourage you, as you study, Meditate and memorize. Some of us have forgotten to do that. When we were kids and we were in, you know, we were in Sunday school, we were, you had to memorize a Bible verse so you could get a star on the wall or whatever, right? Get a piece of candy because you memorized John 3:16 or you memorized the Lord's Prayer or whatever. Our children's church does it over here. Our kids have memorized some Bible verses, right? But as we get older, we stop doing these kinds of things because we struggle memorizing things anyway, right? Some of us have gotten so old that we can't memorize three words. But when you meditate and memorize, it becomes a part of who you are. So as you study God's Word, meditate and memorize what God's Word says. Number three, pray the Word. Now, a lot of us don't ever really think to do this, but pray the Word of God. Find verses in the Bible that touch your heart, that speak to you, and pray those verses out. Pray them out to God. Paul prays two prayers for the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. They are powerful prayers. In Ephesians chapter 1, he prays that God give unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You can pray that. God, give unto me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. That's a prayer that you can pray. Psalm 143 that I preached from last Sunday is a psalm that I pray quite often. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible tells me, now the God of hope, may he fill you with all hope in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray that prayer. I pray Acts chapter 4 many times over the church. Lord, behold their threatenings. Now grant unto thy servants boldness to preach your word, and you might stretch forth your hand in the name of your holy child Jesus and do signs and wonders. That's our prayer. Pray the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is God's will. So when you pray the word, you're praying the will of God. So find Bible verses, find prayers, and of course the blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray that over my children. Those are Bible verses that we can pray. When you pray the word of God starts working more in your life. Number four, two more. Obey the word of God. Man, it's really doesn't do us much good to fill our heads with knowledge and then do nothing with it. Am I right? Nobody cares how smart you are if you don't do anything with it. If you don't take what you learn and then obey it, the Bible tells me that you don't actually believe it. We can say that we believe the Word of God, but belief is manifested in obedience. Belief is manifested in doing. For a matter of fact, the New Testament interchangeably uses the words faith and obedience. I mentioned that Wednesday evening. It interchangeably uses those words. That many times faith equals obedience. Obedience equals faith. If you're walking by faith, you're walking in obedience. And you can't walk in obedience if you're not walking by faith. Because to obey God's word means that I believe it even when I don't recognize what it's requiring me to do or what it's going to do. Even when I don't like what it says. Even when it makes me uncomfortable. Even when it convicts me. Even when it's inconvenient. I'm going to obey what the word of God says. I'm going to love my enemies because the Bible tells me I should. I'm going to forgive because the Bible tells me that I should. I am going to be a person of peace on Facebook because the Lord tells me I should. I'm going to obey Jesus. You sit down, sir. You need to obey. Obey the Word of God. You can't get away from it. Read the Word. Study the Word while you're studying. Memorize it. Pray the Word of God. Number four, obey the Word of God. And then number five, share the Word. I know that this is always the most uncomfortable part of the Christian life. I mean, the call to share becomes uncomfortable because that means that God has called us to actually talk to people. Or at least, in obeying the Word of God, living out the Word of God in front of people, so that the gospel can be preached. But this is what the message of even Christmas is. Christmas, God was not silent. God didn't sit back and say, I'm going to let mankind just wither away in its sin and hopelessness. I'm going to let mankind just fall into despair, because that's where sin always takes you. Sin always takes you to despair. It always takes you to hopelessness. It always takes you to fear. But God did not sit back and say, even though we deserve it, even though we deserve it, I'm still going to go. I will not remain silent. I will send the word. I will share the word. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his word. His word that tells us that there is joy, there is hope in this Christmas season and every day, because Jesus came in a manger. So as we celebrate the word of God, we are celebrating the reality of Christmas. Christmas is the fulfillment of God's word. So let us not be ashamed to share that word. Let us not be ashamed to share that word, because folks, you and I know, we know that God is faithful. We know, we've seen him do it, have we not? We've seen him answer our prayers. We've seen him be faithful to his promises. So why don't we share the reality of that word? So as we celebrate Christmas this season, I want to remind you, Christmas is the fulfillment of God's promise. And if God can send himself into this world to fulfill his word, he will meet you right where you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me here this morning? Father, how grateful we are for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. Thank you so much that today we can celebrate the power of the word of God. Lord, we are so grateful for the Gideons and for what they do. Thankful that every year we get to give to this ministry to help Bibles be sent around the world to change people's lives. And so I pray right now for the Gideon's organization, for every individual Gideon who goes out and plants Bibles and shares Bibles. I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would anoint them, that you would empower them, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you would give them boldness and courage, that you would use them in the gifts of your Spirit, use them in the fruit of the Spirit. I pray, God, that every Bible that is picked up, every Bible that is looked at, every Bible that is read would bring forth fruit to the glory of God, that your word would not return void, but seeds would be planted, and that lives would be radically changed as a result of it. And now this morning, I pray for every believer in this building. Some who may be discouraged here today. Some who may be disappointed. Some who may feel like they're in a hopeless situation. I ask in the name of Jesus that they would be reminded that during this story of Christmas, God, you are not silent. You are not quiet. That you will not leave us by ourselves. That you are faithful to perform your word and to perform your promises. That God, there is hope in you. There is joy in you. And we thank you for that. Encourage hearts here this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, really quickly, today we're going to sing a worship song. And I just want to give you an opportunity today, if you need prayer for any reason, we want to pray with you. I know that we talk each year that the holiday season sometimes can be really hard on people. We have loved ones that we've lost that maybe we don't get to share our traditions with anymore. And so the holidays can really weigh heavy on us. Holidays can be stressful. And I know that sometimes it just feels like the constant stress just wears us out. We're all trying to be good parents, trying to be good kids, trying to love people. And there's a lot of pressure on our lives. And I just want you to know here today that you have hope and peace and joy in Jesus Christ. If you feel discouraged here today and you need prayer, we want to pray with you. If you are sick in body, we believe in a healing Jesus. If you need prayer, let's pray in Jesus' name. Whatever need you may have, why don't you just hear God's promise today? What promise are you holding on to? What promise are you believing God for? If you want to pray today, we invite you to come in Jesus' name. If